What's up, Fool Podcast? With Felipe Esparza and always here with a girlfriend now, Rodrigo Torres.
This fool, yeah, man. How you living?
What's up, bro?
Chilling, you fool? How you doing?
Chilling, bro. I gotta give them these dates, bro, before they turn off and go listen to something else.
Handle it, doc.
Upcoming shows, people. San Diego, California, October 21st. That's tonight. One night only at Humphreys by the Bay. Okay, here's the lineup for tonight. It's Marcela Arguello hosting, Rodrigo Torres opening up, and then Cookie Hall will be
Detroit's finest.
Detroit's finest. That's right, people. Who else brings you two women on the show but Felipe Esparza? Salt Lake City, Utah, October 27th through the 29th at Wise Guys Comedy Club in Salt Lake City, not in ghetto-ass West Valley. God damn, that place is ghetto, bro. That's the most ghetto-ass West Valley name I ever heard, bro.
Right there in Utah?
Remember, there were a bunch of meth heads in my room, bro. And it's funny, man, when they hire someone to do construction or do any kind of fixing at the hotel, why do they have to stay in the hotel, too? I don't want to see the guy that's doing the plumbing walking around all drunk with his socks on down the hallway, making the hotel part of his home.
Right. Send him to the night's
Yeah,
inn.
Keep him somewhere else.
Right. A place that's worse.
Every time they have people working at the hotel that are staying there, it's bad for the hotel, man. You got to see them in breakfast. You got to see them in the hallway. I don't want to see them that many times.
Funny.
Also, man, Bellevue, Washington, Seattle, November 3rd through the 5th at Parlor Bar. That's right. Bellevue in Seattle, which is not really Seattle, but anybody that was thinking of coming back to the Three Rivers place, what they called, whatever the place is over there. The Tri-City. This is the closest I'll be to the Tri-City. It'll be Bellevue. Addison, Texas, November 10th through the 13th at Addison Improv. Also, November 10th, you can watch me on the second time I'll be on Superstore.
Well, they can get a double dose of you.
Yeah, watch the Christmas episode.
Hell yeah, dude.
Hammond, Indiana, in the Chicago area, November 19th, one night only, co-headlining with the legend, the man, the Kings of Comedy, a.k.a. Pablo, Verizon commercials, Super Pepsi, Paul Rodriguez.
Hey!
Yes, Paul Rodriguez will be there. One night only at the venue inside the Horseshoe Casino. That's always tough for people, man. We're performing at the Horseshoe Casino, and to help you from looking around, asking where the show is, it's inside the venue. I don't think a club should be called the venue if it's inside of a fucking venue. It just makes it so fucking confusing.
Like that's a turducken, huh?
Yeah, I'll be performing at the comedy club inside the comedy club. On sale now, my next Los Angeles date, January 21st at the Novo, formerly Club Nokia, one night only, tickets at axs.com. Also, that'll be it. That's it, man.
I know where I know why you asked me about that date. So, yes. In advance, yeah, sure. I love to rock out, man.
What's up, fool? Rodrigo Torres right here, man. We got a guest here, bro. Dean
Hell
Edwards,
yeah,
bro. Who's he's this guy, man. He knows relationships, bro. He knows about dating.
I do.
And he's been with bad women, good women.
Yeah.
And he's somebody you could talk to, bro, about women, bro. You know, man.
Whatever you need.
Any questions you have, bro? Like right now, Rodrigo Torres, man. He's having problems, man, with his girlfriend, man. He loves her.
Uh-huh.
But he don't know where he stands, you know?
Okay. Well, don't
because
ask
she has
Dean.
Kids.
Don't ask me, ask Tracy Morgan.
What's up, Tracy, man?
Yo, what's up, Papa? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, chilling, dog.
You know what? I mean, so tell me about the woman that you've been dealing with.
Oh, it's over, dog.
It's over?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's over on the podcast. You're listening?
She just found out right now.
No. It was over, I think, last night.
Because she subscribed. It was over last night. That means it happened too quick. You bust too quick.
Taking a break, man. I'm good.
What happened? Talk to me, Papa. Come on.
Nothing,
hey, man.
Yeah.
When a woman tells me to take a break from the relationship and I'm fucking over 35, it's fucking over.
It's
man.
Over.
I mean, come back when I'm
the writing
50?
Ain't on the wall. The writing is the wall.
I'm going to come back when I'm 50. Yeah, man. It's been like, I'm 46 now, man.
Yeah, man.
You're fucking 50. Let's move on.
So you got a good one.
What are you looking for in a woman, bro?
What am I looking for in a woman? I don't know. I thought it was just like at sex at first and shit, which was cool. But I mean, I want a best friend, dog. You know what I mean? I guess that's what in the end, right? Somebody to call and fucking, you know, get a little back and forth with that night. But that's it.
Man.
That's
yeah, I have like some of my best friends were men, so I don't know how I feel about that answer. But I know what you mean. I mean, listen, you want somebody that is compassionate. You want compassion.
Yeah, dog.
You want love. You want her to be able to, you know, rub your belly when you sleeping. That's called a speed bump. That means slow down when you go down.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, I guess we're not the same planes right now.
Yeah, man. Rodrigo wants a woman in the streets, but a freak in the bed.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. A freak in the bed is a woman in the streets. She ain't stopped being woman. She's feminine. She just, women have chambers, like the 36 chambers, like Shaolin Temple. You know, sometimes you got to learn tiger style. Sometimes you learn crane. Sometimes you don't even get to hit the wood. You just walk up with the buckets like Gordon Liu. Master Killer. That's nope. Master Killer right there.
Hell yeah. Don't forget those Master Dutches, dog.
Yeah, y'all thought the Master Dutches.
Wow, man. That was fast.
Yeah,
because last week we were talking about like, yeah, man, are we going to make this happen?
So hold on. You just started dating her?
I'm probably about five. What happened was we were dating like fucking a year ago, right? So
she has kids.
Okay. She has one child.
That means she got a baby daddy.
Yeah. But
there you go.
So we're dating, and then I just fucking cut it off because she wanted to just be friends, right? I'm done, dude. You know what I mean? And then fucking she got back with her ex.
I have friends. I want pussy.
She got back with her ex a little while ago.
I bet she did.
And then she broke up with him, and then whatever, we started talking again.
You were waiting on the side, how like Captain Save-A-Ho.
Hell yeah, I was just chilling in the dugout, you know, being
me.
You
had that rebound.
Yeah, so we started dating again, then fucking this time around, we were having how they all send the old school relations, and it was cool. But then, you know, started acting weird. I started like, what the fuck? And then like, she hit me that like, you know, she's fucking not able to give me what I want. Mm. And then I'm like, all right. So like, fucking, I'm cool.
Well, she didn't do oral?
Oh, yeah.
She did?
Yeah.
So what did you want?
What do you mean what I want?
She couldn't give you what you wanted.
Oh, you know, love and a relationship.
So you wanted a relationship, and she was more in a situationship.
Right.
Okay, and you wanted more. Well, I mean,
It's cool, though.
If
I mean, I ain't tripping.
You ain't tripping, because you know what? There's somebody out there for everybody, even if you got to order like Melania.
There's some listener right now taking notes, bro. Gonna waiting for the calling show now.
But yeah, I'm just, you know, just that's me. I'm cool, though. I mean, I'm good. You know,
keep saying it, though. That means maybe you aren't. I'm wondering if this is a cover.
She got what she wanted, bro. Five free shows.
Yeah. You know, so, yeah, as far as me, dude, I'm good. Like, I was more devastated the last time around. Now I'm cool. Okay. I'm good.
What was different? What was the difference with the last time around?
You were wearing a beehive outfit.
Okay. Nah, fool. Okay. It was just like, you know, fucking, I don't know.
This girl or another girl?
No, this girl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You broke up twice.
Well, yeah, we weren't together, though, last time. We were just dating.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm good. I'm cool.
Well, how did you graduate from dating to being together? Like, what was the moment that it graduated? Because you said,
well, she...
He stopped jerking off, first of all.
Okay, all right. That's
this guy was a jerk-off champ, bro.
She made it official. I take after you, dog.
Hell yeah, bro.
She made it official. Was. You know what I mean? She told her folks, and I'm all right,
oh,
cool.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It wasn't me. I was enforcing shit. I was just laying cool, dog.
Damn, so she
that's
told
cool, because
I'm not over here fucking trying to push anything. I'll tell you right now. Before I was.
You seen the girl I've been with?
Yeah.
I never met their parents. I never met their parents, bro.
Oh, that should have told you something.
I know, man. Also, man, all the girls I've dated with never grew up with their father, too.
Oh, damn. So let me ask you this. Were you doing that on purpose?
No.
No, because you know a lot of dudes will use that to their advantage. They're like, yo, she ain't shit.
Daddy issues, girl.
They're smiling. They're like, yo, her dad left when she was three. You're like, yes.
Fill in the blank.
A lot of dudes are like that.
I didn't know that, man. Okay. So I started dating them, and they tell me they didn't have a dad, or their dad left, mm-hmm. you know? So their dad left them and shit. And I'm thinking, wow, so if I leave, this bitch ain't going to feel shit.
But.
That's one way of looking at it, perhaps.
One tell? Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, man. I've never been with a girl that had both of her parents either alive or they grew up with their mom and dad.
Wow, dig it.
Because I grew up with my mom and dad. You right. grew up with your mom and dad. And I'm pretty sure
so
the women that are attracted to you, even without you thinking about it, don't have a dad. This girl have a dad?
Yeah, fool.
Okay, I could be wrong.
Okay. happens to the best of us.
Yeah, man.
What's up, fool, man? The Dodgers moving up.
Fuck yes.
I don't know, man. We don't know yet, but I was at the Dodger game yesterday. I took my mom, bro.
I seen the photos. It was awesome. It looked cool. Looked like you had fucking had fun.
Took my mom, bro, and my mom's kind of forgetful right now because she's retired now, so she's at the age where I could remember the things I want to remember, not the shit that's important.
Right.
So my mom calls me up at 12 noon, right, yesterday. Goes, what time we leaving again? I told her, 3, woman. We're leaving at 3.
Right.
Woman.
3 o'clock, 3 p.m., you know? Right. Mountain time.
Right.
Then I get a call from my brother. Oh, man. My mom didn't tell me that you guys were going to Dodger Stadium. She's watching my son right now for free.
Oh, fuck.
So my brother dropped off his son at noon, thinking that he's going to be there for 8 hours. So they're scrambling, trying to find a babysitter now for their son.
That's on them, right?
I know,
yeah,
right?
Your mom
wants to go. Mom wants to go to a Dodger game, right?
Interrupting the series.
Right. Yeah, interrupting the series, right? But me, I'm thinking about, man, I don't want to take this fool to Dodger Stadium. You know? He's too little. There's going to be fireworks. This guy's going to be scared, you know? I don't want to be there with a crying baby.
Right.
So I just play it off like, hey, man, you do what you got to do, man, but we're leaving at fucking 3. I don't give a fuck. We're leaving at 3. Your son will be there with the door open. Come get him.
This fool, dog.
You know, it's not like you never been left alone at that age. Come on.
How old is he?
I don't know.
Give
3.
Him some toys.
3? Oh, yeah.
He's 3, bro.
As you put him in the basement.
Think about it. At 3
need
years.
Some food.
Tie his leg to the piano.
At 3 years old, when my little brother, his father was 3 years old, I took him to go see Return of the Jedi, and I was still in high school.
Oh, wow. Tight.
So that 3-year-old could be okay by himself.
Get him a VHS tape. Hey.
We get there, and my mom's all ready, bro. She's ready, man. She got her hair done.
Ready to go, huh?
Ready to go, bro. She's wearing no Dodger gear. So I say, I was trying to get her a Dodger shirt, man, because you're going to be the only one with no Dodger gear. Mm-hmm. Shit, I'm wearing my Dodger Fernando Valenzuela shirt. I'm wearing my Dodger Kiss jersey under. And I got my Dodger Christmas sweater, bro.
You're in the bullpen, dog.
I'm ready, bro. You want me to pitch? You want me to bring in Steve Howe? So we're watching the game, man, and it was electrifying, bro. They won.
Fuck yeah. It looked that way.
My mom's all excited, bro. Yelling stuff out, too.
Hell yeah, dude.
You suck.
You guys heckling the outfielders? Hell yeah, dog.
I don't know how to say the guy's name, bro. It was McLaughlin. I'll call him McLaughlin. Zobris, bro.
Zobris.
You can't even make that shit funny.
That should come from.
Zobris.
I was just, but this, how crazy baseball is. Mm. And because of the internet. The guys behind me who were drunk, Wikipedia him. They were yelling out his girlfriend's name.
Oh, damn. That's foul, B.
It's crazy.
Family and children are off limits,
so. It is crazy.
Oh, my God.
As soon as they were yelling out Julia, they're yelling his name, and then Julia. Then some girl, this cub has said, Julia, yeah, that's his girlfriend's name. And these guys over there, Wikipedia her, they were going, Julia sucks! Oh, Julia sucks! Julia, she's a horrible singer, bro! She's cheating on you, bro!
Yo.
And she's a Christian singer.
Dang.
She goes, Zobrist, Julia's cheating on you, motherfucker. We have her over here, bro. We're kissing her.
Can he hit him?
Yes.
Did he turn around?
No.
They didn't break him then.
They didn't. No, bro. He missed that ball, bro. He didn't hustle that ball. He missed that ball.
Well,
all night, bro.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Like, bro, I didn't know that shit.
That's a lot to
see,
deal.
That's a real heckler. That's like somebody going up on stage. No, Felipe Esparza. We compete. Felipe, how about that fool you bit his ear off, motherfucker?
Right. Wait. Hold on.
I was hungry, Doc.
We're not just gonna scathe over that. This is pre or post Tyson?
Post Tyson. Pre. He stole it from me.
Okay. So.
No, yeah, I did no, it. I thought you already heard it.
Yeah. No. No. I know.
Godfather 3 on a motherfucker.
I'd like to. Because I've never been next to for this many hours someone that chewed an ear. So
no. It was when I did the All Things Comedy.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I always confuse All Things Comedy and This Is Not Happening.
Okay.
Oh, anyway, so I was on This Is Not Happening with mm-hmm. Ari Shaffir.
Okay.
Who's on All Things Comedy too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Skeptic.
Skeptic, yeah.
I still have his t-shirt. Mm-hmm. I'm in a show and I'm talking about it. So when I was in rehab, the reason I was in rehab was because I got into a fight in a neighborhood with somebody mm-hmm. who just came out of prison.
Okay.
And he was a likable guy, mm-hmm. old guy, 30. Mm-hmm. I was 22.
Okay.
So we're fighting, and he's strangling me to death.
Why are you fighting the nice guy? You just said, because you just, right? I didn't miss that. Like, he just said he was an old guy, nice guy.
He messed up on his prayers.
But I'm not from his neighborhood.
Okay.
So he's not nice to me.
Okay, got you.
I live in this neighborhood, but I'm not part of the neighborhood. Right. I'm not in the local gang.
Right.
You know, I'm on the other side of the neighborhood, the other projects, and I'm the rival gang now. But this guy disrespected me, you know, like doing acronyms about the initials of our gang.
Okay.
It's like you do that. It's like when you're in a gang and you want to disrespect the other gang, you don't call out the gang.
Right.
You disrespect it. Mm-hmm. It's always a play on words with food.
He was fucking with you.
Like East Coast is not really East Coast. It's cheese toast.
Got you. Got you. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So yeah, man, that food from the cheese toast.
Oh, okay.
So that you call a Crip that you're asking for a death sentence right there.
Right.
I shouldn't have even said that they could call Crips cheese toast, but that's what they call them in the neighborhood.
Right.
So he's doing a name like that on my neighborhood.
Okay.
Like I'm from a crew called the Mob Crew,
mm-hmm.
but this fool's yelling out, "Oh, there goes Batman from the Mickey Mouse Club," in front of everybody, bro. Mm-hmm. And that's a no-no, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I didn't disrespect you like that, you know? I didn't tell you nothing like that.
Yeah.
So he's telling me all this. He's telling me all that. So I just cheap shot this motherfucker, dog.
Snuck a blue gun.
Paka! And missed.
Oh, damn. You attempted cheap shot. Just clarify.
But in my defense, I was on PCP at the time.
Okay, all right.
He didn't connect.
It wasn't crack.
I hit him with the side of my knuckle. Oh.
Okay, so you caught him a little bit.
So, you know, enough to make him flinch.
Right.
Great. He grabbed me and started choking me in one of those UFC holds.
Right.
But it was just called a regular hold back then. And I don't know what to do, man. Nobody's helping me. I'm like this. I'm trying to tap out. Nothing.
Uh-huh. Right. You do remember the Hulk Hogan with the arm go drop and go limp.
Then he's done.
No, let me, right. Yes.
Yeah, so.
Call the medics.
I grabbed whatever I could, like some of his head, and I put it close to my mouth, and I bit like the half the ear where the earring hangs at.
Okay.
And a little bit of that. I don't know, man.
And that's you bit it clear off.
Clear off, bro. Let me tell you something, man. Teeth are strong.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, they are.
When you're doing it, do you get it the first time, or are you like going, like trying to?
I got it the first one.
Oh, okay.
And man, that fool screamed like a little girl.
He did.
And then as soon as he started screaming, I started beating his ass.
Uh-huh.
I took my belt off. And that's how you know you're a gangster, bro. When you take your belt off and whip him in the middle of the
somebody?
Streets.
Yeah. When you
I should have gave that fool standards. I would not call it the Mickey Mouse Club 100 times.
Right.
Even the baby boy standard.
Write that in ear blood on the concrete.
So I'm whipping his ass, bro. Whipping him, bro.
Do you still have the ill? Like, are you sucking it like as now later?
I spit it out.
You spit it out. Okay.
But I have blood on my mouth, like Gene Simmons or
which is kind of in the heat of the battle. That's kind of dope that you have like blood dripping and drooling from your mouth.
It's on, brother.
Yeah,
300 over here.
Yeah.
So I'm beating the fuck out of him, man. And then you know how you start beating his, you're like the energy rolling.
You're in the zone, dog.
I'm in the zone.
Right.
So I started calling out names of people who aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
Now the motherfucker shows up. Porky, I'm going to beat his ass too.
Right.
Oh, and then I'm Porky with some guy named David Merritt.
Whoa. You know, he meet Porky was better.
This guy.
David Merritt. No one's afraid of him.
I shouldn't have even brought up David his name because he's crazy, bro. This guy was crazy. He's dead now, though.
Oh, okay.
I used to have a running joke about him, man, because I used to call that fool Run DMC.
Uh-huh.
Run David Merritt from the cops.
Uh-huh. I was bending corners on their ass.
Right.
David was crazy, man. He used to have a big-ass mustache like what's his name from Sesame Street, bro? That Gordon.
Gordon.
You know that Gordon?
Holly Robinson pizza. Yeah. That.
You know how Gordon Robinson had that thick mustache?
Yeah, he did.
But David had it like all the way down like a handlebar.
Okay.
And he was one of the only black guys that could hang with Mexicans in prison.
Oh, dig it.
Like whenever there was like a people standing in line to use a phone, he could be on the Mexican line or the black line, and nobody fucked with him.
Right.
So I thought it was brave enough that I could just bust out his name.
Right.
Because I'm all fucking crazy.
Right.
So he finds out. He finds out.
His crazy supersedes your crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But later on, I found out that he's looking for me now.
Yeah.
Because I beat up his homie and
and disrespected his name.
Yeah.
Called him out.
So I see him come up to me and he picks up an aluminum bat. Like aluminum bat, a little league bat.
Yeah.
And he's coming at me. And I'm thinking, I guess he's afraid of me just as I am afraid of him. Because he's coming with a bat.
Yeah.
And I got nothing, bro, but fists and no confidence. So he swings a bat at me over my head hard, man. He misses me. So I guess he's trying to bash my head in.
Yeah.
So he misses me. And he goes, man, Batman, you're lucky, homie, man. For fucking up my homie, I should just fuck you up right now. And I said, man, well, you got to do what you got to do, man.
Right.
You know, because I'm not going to go nowhere.
Right.
I live here, too.
It's kind of gangster.
So then I have nowhere else to go. So he went to go do something. And the mechanic that was fixing somebody's car, he hops in that car that he's fixing. And he takes me home.
So he only – he just, so it was a one swing confrontation?
Like he had to go make a sale or something.
Oh, wow. He has, like, ADD for a gangster. You know what I mean? Like, you'd think he would have, you know, swung a couple of times, and then he's like, all right, I'm not good at this.
Short,
you're lucky, Batman, and then bounce.
Short-term memory gangster.
Got something to do, and then dipped out.
Yeah, man. So he ended up letting it go, and I ended up going to – that's what sent me to rehab.
Oh, wow.
That all those people were after me.
Wow.
Cause if I would have never beat that guy up, and if I would have never disrespected Porky, I probably wouldn't have been a comedian.
Yeah,
you know, because I probably would have been living there, and I would have been got deeper into drugs and deeper into gangs.
Right.
I probably would have got killed or imprisoned or deported like my brother did.
Prodigy environment.
Things happen for a reason.
So thank you, Run DMC,
David Mayer from the cops.
Yeah, yeah,
Porky.
Yeah.
Dude, he had a brother named Brian who was older than him. That guy was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He used to have a leather belt, a lifting belt, right?
Uh-huh.
And then on the back side, he would ride, he wrote on the back, Killing Urge.
Damn.
That was his morning affirmation every day before he was Killing Urge.
That was his name. That was about Killing Urge.
Wake up call. Wow.
And I mentioned on your podcast that guy Wolf.
Yeah, Wolf, yeah.
So Wolf and that guy were fighting. And then this is kind of how naive I am. I'm on Facebook, and I think one of their peeps are on Facebook, and they're talking about fights. And I said, man, fuck that. They were talking about fights they've seen on TV, fights they've seen there. And then I wrote a long-ass getaway blog as a comment. Pretty much putting two people, confessing to two crimes that two people committed on
Facebook.
And I wrote, best fuck you guys, man. Best fight I ever seen was fucking Brian Merritt and fucking Wolf and the Archway, 1990. He goes, those fuckers fought like one of those Kimbo Slice fights,
where
the fight starts in this garage and ends up being in the backyard, kind of like Clint Eastwood and Every Which Way But Loose.
Right.
Where's the orangutan guy?
Yeah, man. So they're fighting and they're getting the best of each other. They both have eyes with blood. They're both bleeding from their mouth, and they can't stop fighting. They just keep fighting, and then finally, Wolf gets the best out of Brian. Brian runs and sees this Mexican man fixing his car. Mm-hmm. He's about to put gasoline in his car.
Mm-hmm.
And that fool grabs the gasoline tank and pours it all over Wolf and lights a match. Listen, motherfucker, you want to keep fighting, yes or no?
Damn.
And you want to lit that fool on fire in front of everybody.
He lit him on fire?
Well, he was going to light him on fire. But that fool ran.
Shoot.
Yeah,
that's the best fight I've ever
seen. Doused in gasoline, kind of, that's the end. Like, yeah. You won.
Yeah, man, so chapter. I write that down, man. Yeah, he's about to get burned. Doused with gasoline, and I'm writing this all on Facebook.
You inadvertently snitched. Like, you just put it. What are you blast. Doing on Facebook?
I was just trying to top everybody's story. Right. What I was trying to do.
Well, you did, dog.
Oh. And for those, you know, real quick, since you said that, for those that want to hear like part one to that story, and Felipe and I, we just rocked out on my podcast, the Father Mucker Protocol. Y'all make sure you check
There's
that
more
out.
Wolf stories on his yes, podcast. Yes.
That's what we call it, more wolf stories.
Where did you grow up at?
I grew up in New York. Well, you know what? Grew up in New York City, but then my dad, he worked for Department of Corrections. And so every time he got promoted meant a move further upstate. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, for people of color were making this run to the suburbs of New York City. So if you had a good job, you know, you go from Mount Vernon, from the Bronx to Mount Vernon, and then he got transferred again to Bedford Hills prison. So we went from Mount Vernon to Yorktown Heights, and then from Yorktown Heights up to Poughkeepsie. And those, the beauty of those moves were they still were kind of within the vicinity of New York City. Like Poughkeepsie was about an hour and a half away, but I still could get back to see all my friends. Then my dad got transferred to Attica. He got promoted and transferred to Attica.
Attica.
Yeah. And here's what's funny. Back in the days, like I look at how children are raised nowadays because they're so pampered and like, any moves you make in your house, you sort of check with the kids to make sure they're okay with them. This is how I would find out we were moving, right? My parents wouldn't come out and say, Dino, we would go for a drive in the country and you just wind up like, we moved to Batavia when he got transferred to Attica, which is, Batavia's right between Buffalo and Rochester, like 30 miles between each.
Upstate.
Way upstate. They call it Western New York and so far. And so he, we go for a drive, and normally we drive 30, 40 minutes. It was a four-hour drive. I'm like, where are we going? And then we just show up to the apartment complex of the house, and they're like, pick your room. Hey, man, wait. You could have warned the brother
no consultation.
Not to drink anything before we got on this long ride. So We moved up there. Then we, Rochester, I went to college in Rochester. That's when I started comedy. And then, funny enough, my dad's the one that pretty much, you know, told me I had to move back to the Bronx, you know, which was almost unheard of because your family moved you away from the city to hopefully protect you and give you a better life. And here I'm going back into the belly of the beast. To move, I literally moved back on my grandmother's old block, Ward Avenue, 1591 Bruckner Boulevard and Ward Avenue in the Bronx. Maybe 6 months later, I was on Def Comedy Jam. So it worked out. So, but that's what's funny. Like, sometimes you need somebody, like my dad checked me because I had been a comic maybe for about 2 years. I started in 92 and so like early to mid 94, he's like, hey man, what are you doing? What's up with this comedy thing? I was like, yeah, you know, I did a show. He was like, when was your last show? I did a show last weekend. He was like, when's your next show? I got a show in 2 weeks. Man, you ain't no real comedian. Like, he just checked me. He's like, that's tough love. He was like, you ain't no real comedian. You just like your Army Reserves. You like a comic reserves. He was like, you want to do this? You gotta go all in. You gotta move back to the city. Ain't gonna happen up here. You gotta move back to the city. And my ego was bruised, you know, which is what father's there for. Because my mom, she was like, nah, you're up here, it's safe. And my dad was like, man, you gonna do this? You gotta go where the action is. So I was like, you ain't going tell me I ain't no comedian. So I moved back to New York the following, what was that? That was in 2004, so June 25th, 95. I was back in the BX, you know, and glad, you know, God bless. My dad passed 9 years ago, but that was the best advice ever, or the best just tough love, you know, because just like you guys, I'm sure you experienced, you have comics come up. I had somebody last week at the, I swung by the Denver Improv when I was in Colorado, and It was Ali Sadiq was gigging.
He works with
Bellamy, yeah. But now he's headlining because he just had his comedy special aired on Comedy Central. So I said, let me swing through, check him out. I went and saw Rodney Perry's in the hospital. God bless. Rodney's getting better.
Cool.
And so it's weird when you're not on the show. Tell me if you ever had this. You're not on a show, but you're kind of like, damn, I wish. Cause you see the victory lap, you see all that the energy and attention the audience is given to the headliner. And I was like, you know what? I could lay in the cut, but it just felt weird. But I'm chilling on the side, and a couple people walk by, and then this woman came back, and she's like, "You look familiar. Are you in the?" I was like, "Oh yeah, I do a little." So she's like, "I thought I recognized you, but you cut your hair." I was like, "Yeah." And so it turns out I said to her, because she had suspenders on, but the suspenders looked like yardsticks, right? And she had a quirky look. And I said to another comic, it was another person, I said, "Yo, she was an audience member, but I like her look because she's left of everybody else, left the center." I said, "I bet you she's a performer." So she and I are talking, and I said, are you a comedian?" She's like, "Well, I want to be." And so then it turned into a whole different convo. And I was like, why haven't you? I'm always, because Bernie, when I first started, I met Bernie backstage at one of his tours, and he was Bernie Mac, nicest cat. Still to this day, one of the nicest cats I ever met in Hollywood. Fuck. And he encouraged me. Like, I'm backstage at his concert. This is like after he blew up off of Def Jam. Like, "Hey, Bernie Man, it was..." That's how when you look back, you feel like you were like a child. Like, yeah. "Hey, Bernie Man, you're funny, and I'm gonna be there one day." And he was like, "You're already there. There's room at the cross. You in here with me, ain't you?"
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You about to fuck it up.
Yeah.
Rochester, motherfucking New York.
Exactly, dude. Fast forward a decade later, he's in my office at SNL. And I told him, I said, "Hey, man, you don't remember. I know you don't remember this, but I appreciate you encouraging me, you know." And so now that's what anytime I meet somebody that I can tell wants to get on stage, the hardest thing is getting on that first time.
Oh,
so I'm always like, "Hey man, just do it. You making excuses to not get on stage, just do it. Cause after you get that first, you're going to want that hit. You're going to want that hit again." I'm still chasing that first high. To this day, I'm still, every show when I come off, I'm like, "It was dope, but it wasn't that for that first show was just like so invigorating where you're like, yo, this I like how this feels."
You know, captivation, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, so I'm still chasing that, man.
I know, man. Like, I had all my sets were good on and last weekend, mm-hmm. Where was it? DC?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Arlington, Virginia.
We were Arlington, Virginia at Draft House.
The Draft House, okay.
All the shows were good. Then the second show, it was going good. It was loud at 45. Then the last 15 just slipped.
Oh, really?
I felt like they were not listening no more. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was bombing. And I kept going home, like replaying the tape in my head. Where did I lose them?
Right.
I suck.
Right. Was it the checks? Did they drop checks? Sucks.
Nah, I usually don't. Nah, they drop checks all the time. Right. Other than bother me.
Right.
But somebody told me there was a fight in the audience.
Oh.
But nobody, I didn't know.
Okay.
Because the manager came up to me, "Hey, Felipe, man, I'm sorry about what happened up there."
Like, what happened?
I'm like, "What happened?" "Oh, never mind."
Oh, wow.
He walked away.
Oh, wow.
Then later on, I found out that he was kicking some fool out, and that fool bit him.
Oh, damn. He did a U.
He said the guy bit him in the arm.
The dude's name was Wolf.
"Bite me," he said.
Oh, that's funny.
It's bark, no. But as a comedian, you still play on your head. Well, fuck that, man. Yeah, I can't use that bison excuse.
Yeah, right, right. But that's to me, that's the difference between somebody that this is their passion versus someone who's just in this to get on a TV show or what have you. You can't just walk away. You don't like using the audience as the excuse and saying, "Oh, well, they just suck." In your mind, you're like,
"Nah,
there had to be something I could have done differently. And I need to make sure that never happens again."
I felt like I kept thinking to myself, like, I should have just stopped, like I always do, and asked the audience, "What the fuck's going on out there?"
Right, right.
But I didn't do it this time.
Right.
Because I was at 45. I said, "I'll do 15 minutes and get off the fuck off the stage."
Right.
Right. And you always beat yourself up over that because any other time you would have stopped and inquired.
Yeah.
And this one time you didn't, and then you're like, damn, I paid for it. Because you strayed from your script. You strayed from what your norm is.
Because on the first show, on the night before, I was doing the same thing. And somebody was heckling me like 40 minutes in. Mm-hmm. But he was heckling all night, but yelling stuff out like, yeah, or stuff like that. And then security guard was about to kick him out. But then they looked at me when I'm on stage. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say kick him off on the stage.
Right, right, right.
I don't want
right.
to be that guy. Then I got to build the audience back.
Right.
So I just dealt with it from the stage. I said, oh, they're cool, man. You know, I'm about to get off. So
it's good. Right.
So I made fun of him a little bit. Went back to my set. Finished it off. I was happy.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt I couldn't do that in the second show where I felt I didn't do good.
Okay.
I felt like I wasn't a part of that show.
Right.
But I wish you try to keep fixing these mistakes, but I keep telling myself it's not your fault, but it is my fault.
It's my show. It isn't.
It's not, because what happened was a guy was trying to take a picture, record you, and they told him to stop.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then they fucking said, you got to pay your bill before you leave. And he said, fuck that. I'm not paying your bill. We're going to handle this. So that goes, no, you're not going to handle this.
Right.
And that motherfucker tried to swing at him and then bite his ass, and homeboy took him to the floor.
Oh, okay.
Fucking nestled his ass up, waiting for the cops.
Right.
And then you have the audience who's doing their shit, but at the same time, they're
like looking back. Like,
so that's
you don't know when you're on stage.
No, you didn't know that.
You don't know all the variables.
But as a comic, you feel like, motherfucker, you should be alert.
Of course.
Right.
Of course. But we're not omnipresent, you're not God. And so it's like you can only do so much, you know. I actually like when I rock out, I actually me and Dennis Gaxiola doing this Air Force Base tour, and from the first date, everyone's looking at me crazy because I'm like, raise the lights. They're like, why? I said, I want to be able to see the audience. A, because I want to go. I'm getting off the stage and talking to them. To make it a unique experience for every audience. I said, but B, you turn the lights on just enough so you can see an audience, and people suddenly aren't as brave.
It's totally true.
There's safety in the darkness. To an audience member, they feel protected in the dark because they're hidden. They're behind the mask of darkness. But as soon as you raise that light up just enough to where I can make eye contact with you, suddenly all it takes is, like, how many times have you been on stage and you have the mic in your hand, somebody says something, you're like, Who said that?
Yeah.
But they know you can't see him. But if you
keep doing it.
But if you hit them with, yo, that was you, suddenly they're like, oh, shoot, this dude can see me. But, you know, yeah. people ain't as brave with the lights up a little bit.
They duck.
Because you know how they look, and you got 10, you got like a, you got a list of bags you could do on that face.
Oh, dude, I'm ready.
I'm ready, man.
I got, and that's really what it is. It's like, because I'm not a comic. I'm not somebody that is a heckle, say a Rich Voss. Rich Voss comes with a machine gun ready of retorts and comebacks.
He's waiting for that heckle.
Yeah, he's waiting for it. He's going to attack you before you get him, right? Yeah. I come out, I have like one or two, but it's almost like just lifting your shirt up like, you see that pistol right there, right? I got something for you. And I'm going to win it for no other reason. I'm louder than you. I have a microphone. Even if you happen to be funny, I'm gonna go, I ain't letting you win.
I know, man. Like, sometimes when I watch these comedian destroys heckler, I feel like, bro, you could have just shut that up. Shut up,
right,
bro.
Right.
It wasn't really that. You took it too far.
Right. Yeah.
I want to see a tip called "Comedian Kills the Audience After Comedian Destroys Heckler."
Right.
I want to see how the last comic did after him.
Right.
Okay, he destroyed the heckler. His show ended.
Yeah.
How did you do after him?
Yeah. That's
did you get
real.
The crowd
real
back?
Talk. Yeah, because that's there's something there's that weird energy that once like say something that, like that happens where the dude gets kicked out. If someone else, if it was just a show where it was like a bunch of comics, someone gets kicked out. Now the next dude has to go on with that weird, you got to address the elephant in the room.
Yeah, kill
but
that
you also
vibe.
have to move on and do your thing, you know, so that's always like.
Yeah, we don't know how the guy did after
tough
Kramer.
Ass spot.
Yeah. Right.
Who was that dude? We had him here.
After Kramer, that's
Fraser fun. Smith was hosting and he brought up.
No, Sully McCullough.
Johnny Sanchez.
Sully McCullough was hosting.
Johnny Sanchez.
Oh, he went up after him.
Johnny went up afterwards?
Okay. He was able to handle it, man.
Yeah, he has that energy. Yeah. I saw Johnny last night.
He's cool, man.
Yeah, cool cat, man.
That's
cool,
crazy, cool, huh?
Cat. Yeah, dude. Like, but and you know what? Even with Kramer, I remember when that happened. It's almost like as you guys probably saw, I remember a couple, maybe a week or two before that, I happened to be in L.A., and he was at the Improv going up. And because it's Kramer, you know, I was like, oh, Michael Richards. First thought is, Michael Richards is stand-up? Right?
Mine
so,
too.
So I'm like, okay, well, all of us. So you're like curious. You're like, let me see if he's a real stand-up or if he's just somebody whose agent said, you know what, you can make a killing on the road.
As Kramer.
If you just doing some stand-up as Kramer. So stuck my head in. I watched for maybe 2-3 minutes. I was like, okay, it's not for me, but the crowd seems to enjoy this esoteric thing he's doing.
Esoteric.
So when I heard, as soon as I saw the video, because Ian Edwards told me all about it, and Ian called and told me, and he was, I think he was either there or he had heard about it that night, and so when I saw the tape, like, and as most comics, I didn't watch it like, oh, that dude's racist. I was like, oh, that dude shouldn't have been on stage because he didn't know how to handle you could tell there was discomfort that he was going down in flames. The set wasn't going the way he wanted it to. Someone said something and he, you know, when he launched into, there's a nigga.
Oh, he triggered.
But here's what's funny. And this is the funniest part of that video to me, and y'all listeners can peep it, is after he did that, then he has this thing where he walks off and he's like, those words, always those words. And in my mind, I was like, he was trying to find some sort of angle, but it wasn't coming. So the fingers and those words always. I was like, nah, dog, you went over, stick a fork in it. Like, yeah, I was like, no, you kind of went into a place where you can't come back from.
Yeah,
you know?
He was trying to flip that outcome.
Yeah,
his mistake was going up on a Friday and Saturday.
Yeah,
he should have done that during the week. He should have done it on Latino night. He could have been yelling a web bag. We wouldn't have cared.
Right.
His mistake was not knowing how the Laugh Factory works.
Right, right.
First of all, if you know we have the Laugh Factory, because that audience that was heckling him, we're not part of the original show. It was a switch.
Right, right. There was a switch over.
And, you know,
explain to the people how that happens, too.
This is what happens, people. Yeah. There's a show at the Laugh Factory that starts at 10.
Right.
That everybody's there. Other great comedy are performing. A lot of guest pop-ins.
You get Dane Cook, Kevin Hart. Right.
They do hours. But then at the midnight show is standing in line. The midnight show gets in there. And then, well, the show's already started.
Right.
So they're fresh. They're waiting for drinks. They're pumped up.
Right.
They don't know who the fuck's on stage or how long. First of all, this show been going on forever also. Right.
It becomes a marathon. Instead of them doing 10 to 12, they're just like, they say to the audience, listen, if you want to stay, you can stay. But if not, you leave and we'll bring in a new audience. And so you have old audience members that have been there for 2 and 3 hours versus people that are brand new. And Kramer wound up a victim
of the brand new. I know people were up there standing waiting for drinks, not really watching the show.
Right.
They weren't watching the show.
Yeah. Nah, dude. It was.
They weren't even talking to him. They were talking to each other.
Right. That's what I remember, because you can hear him say, "We weren't even
talking to you.
We weren't even talking to you." You know.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, all right, well, yeah, that's what you get.
And gave him his undivided attention.
Yeah. You got the world's attention now. How do y'all feel about that, though? Because that could have happened. That could have gone way different if someone wasn't recording it. You know what I mean? Like, that would have just been a little liner note on in the mythology of stand-up comedy and Laugh Factory versus someone having a phone, you know, and recording it, and then play it becoming a big.
I heard that TMZ went in there and recorded him.
No, I heard that dude sold it to him.
He sold
but
it to him.
They had a press conference the next day, and then Paul Rodriguez was on there. He's all, and the thing that he was of the Jewish faith, and right, that's right. What's kind of crazy right. Too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's
if it's like not yeah. If you're a straight
well,
white dude.
Crazy
cool.
Was that Paul Rodriguez showed up just to have a TV credit.
His hair was all like, it was tight, dog.
They woke him up because Jamie always wants legends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Listen, buddy, I need you to come out and just, you know, speak on this. And he did.
Yeah, man. Like, I'm watching the people that are interviewing after. We're like, I'm watching and going, When the fuck was Tom Arnold ever here?
Thanksgiving.
Why the fuck are you talking to him for?
He came and did something at the comedy camp, like, one time.
Not even that, dude. Like, there's time where I'm there at the show, like, on Thanksgiving, and Tom Arnold said, I didn't know I was going to be here till I woke up this morning and read the newspaper. So Jamie just says that Tom Arnold's going to be there.
Right, right. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Jamie's hilarious. That's funny. Jamie just pressures someone out of their time with their family on Thanksgiving. That's funny, son.
Genius.
It is brilliant, though.
That's what happens on Thanksgiving at the Laugh Factory. Like, everybody shows up trying to get TV time with KTLA. Yeah, right. We're here with Rodrigo Torres. We're feeding the homeless, but you only pass out one handout.
Yeah, right. Passing out water the whole
time. You got the picture? As soon as they get the picture.
As soon as they get that, like, the big comments show up, and I've seen it done. Like, they'll serve, like, five homeless people, get on camera, and go back home.
Oh, yeah. Just
boom. Meanwhile, I'm there all day.
Yeah, right. Seating people and shit.
Right.
But this Thanksgiving is going to be good, though, because Dane Cook's not going to be there, so we're going to have it. We're going to see who is going to be serving turkey this week.
Is Dane usually there?
Dane is always by the turkey.
Oh, but now, yes.
Yeah. He gets the prime corner spot where, like, when the camera comes in, it's always him.
Oh, wow.
So he's always there. And let me tell you, man, Dane Cook was there serving Thanksgiving dinner for, like, 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Every Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
Didn't go up on stage once.
Well, that's kudos, though. That's kudos that did.
Because that show kills egos. Mm.
The homeless are tough, bro.
Yeah, man. It's not a good place for a comic to perform on.
Really?
But I kill every time.
Right.
I kill every time, man, because I don't give a fuck that they're homeless. I don't give a
fuck.
But
that's what I was going to say. As I said on the podcast, I said, you are a unique individual. I'm not gassing you. You're unique in that you're just no frills. You're without pretension.
I know, man.
You're just you.
Like, the white comics go up on during the homeless people. Like, they really got to watch, especially they're edgy.
Yeah.
And they're usually making fun of everybody.
Right, right.
They don't do it there. Right, like, right. Where's your balls?
But to me,
where's your balls?
That's pretension.
Where's those jokes you said at UCB?
Right.
Where's your balls?
Right.
They can't do it, man. Yeah. I'm up there going, man, I know you guys never seen me on HBO. I know you guys never seen me at Showtime, but you see me coming out of Ralph ignoring your ass.
Right, right.
And that kills
you. Hell yeah.
Because people don't want, nobody wants you to talk down the beat. Just talk to me.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Just talk to me. That's the same cat that is like, serving the homeless. They're like, touch them, and you're like, ah, oh, just a homeless dude, just touch me. And, you know, it's like, hey, man, that's a human being first. We human first.
I remember.
Can you be a man?
One of the comics that I've had on a podcast, and he has opened up for me, Chuck Bartel.
Hell yeah.
Chuck Bartel, man. It's funny as shit, man. I introduced him to Dean Del Rey one time.
Hey, what's up, bro?
You know Dean Del Rey? Oh, I love Dean Del Rey. He gives me extra turkey every Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow. But you know what? That's Del Rey's without pretension. He's just a dude.
Yeah.
He's not a gas.
He kills it. But it was funny, though, because I didn't know that Chuck Bartel shows up every Thanksgiving the free turkey.
That's funny.
He has no family. Oh, he's from Minnesota.
Okay.
So he goes to the Thanksgiving, watches the show, eats for free, and goes back home.
Right. That's funny. If I was ever out here on Thanksgiving, I would do it, but I'm usually back
if I was
east.
A comedy fan.
Right.
And I knew that there's going to be Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. and I'm going to see Dane Cook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see Ian. I'm going to see Tom Dreesen.
Mm-hmm. Host.
Fucking Kevin Nealon.
Right.
You.
Bob Saget. Me.
Del Rey.
But I'm going to stand in line for an hour with a bunch of homeless and crazy people, but I'm going to eat dinner and get to at least see them for free. Oh, I will be there every Christmas.
Two shows, two outfits.
And there are people who do that, like, every Christmas.
Yeah. You see the regulars.
Yeah, man, there's people cool. like, that's what dope. I love watching, that there's people who are not homeless. They're like, there's hipsters there.
Right.
There's people, there's a family that show up who could afford to eat,
mm-hmm.
but they show up every Christmas because mm-hmm. they know, and they're part of the family.
Right, they make it their thing.
I expect them to be there.
Right, right, right. That's kind of dope. That's Jay Masada. He does something good. So you know, I can appreciate that for the community.
Los Angeles.
What was it like, man, when you were on Saturday Night Live and Tracy Morgan was there too?
It was, for me, it was fine. I think the challenge is, at least back then versus now, the writers didn't understand how to create for more than one person of color. It was hard enough for them to figure out how to get one, a black dude on screen and not just do the stereotypical. Like I played a lot of Officer Number Two and bartenders and the DJs, like you and now Brian Tucker, I call Brian Tucker the friend to the black comic because he wrote with Chappelle and Chappelle's Show and a bunch of other, I think he might have with Rock, but you know, he just writes. And if you're writing a role for Kenan Thompson versus, you know, any of the 7 or 8 white dudes on the show, Kenan can play the lawyer too, you know? And so the challenge while I was on the show was, it was like, you know, with myself and Tracy, we were like Highlander. There can only be one, you know what I mean? And so they would, and Tracy.
That's me, puppy.
Yeah, yeah. So Tracy, I always said Tracy was like the alpha Negro. And I was second waiting for him. I was more my second season. My first season, I was like the new toy. I was the new toy and where it was like, oh, he's black dude, but he does all these impressions. So they're like, they write something and Dean, can you do Sway from MTV? Yeah, I've seen him on MTV. His voice is kind of like here, right? Yeah, that's great. Dean, you do Michael Denzel if you need me to do Michael. You do Denzel. I got your Denzel. If you need me to do Denzel, I'm going to do Denzel. And so they were like, oh, we can throw, what about Don Cheadle? Yeah, you know, I it's somewhere in here. Just off of
how about Tracy?
Well, it was funny. That's funny.
You were telling me that story when you were the makeup lady was doing your makeup. She was talking about Tracy.
Yeah, Tracy.
And you were, that was the best Tracy you did, man.
Yeah, Tracy.
Because you were doing him down.
Yeah, he
was not up.
Yeah, he wasn't. So Tracy. So my first maybe 4 or 5 weeks in, maybe a month and a half into the show, I would go out Monday nights. We would meet the cast. We would meet the guest host. The guest host would come in to Lauren's office. Everyone would meet. We pitch them ideas. Everybody go out to drink. I didn't drink. I should have still gone and hung out, but I was new, and so I was like, I'm gonna go and work my ideas out. I was, you know,
sets.
Yeah, I was gonna do some sets. So I'd go down hard to Boston. Easy to get spots now. Yeah,
you were taking advantage of walking in now and being put up immediately. And
I had bump power, right?
Yeah.
As a comic, you want bump power, right? So I'm going to Boston Comedy Club. I would go and work out and I'm doing jokes and I'm doing Will Ferrell on, you know, I'm doing everybody on stage. I'm talking about Tracy on stage. So my boy Harris, who called earlier, Harris, very funny comic, and Harris was tight with Tracy at the time, and myself. And so Harris, calls me the next day. He's like, yeah, man, I told Tracy you were doing him on stage. I was like, oh, word? And he was like, yeah, I don't know if he liked that, right? I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm sitting in my office, Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday is write day, write night. We usually write till Wednesday morning. And Tracy shows up early, you know, and he comes to my office. I'm sitting in my office. He comes to my door. He's like, hey, yo, can I talk to you for a second? So I was like, yeah. And he just walked away. So I was like, oh, okay. I thought maybe he wants me to follow him. So I follow him to his office. He's sitting in his office. As I go to walk in his office, he's like, stay there. You got to come in. I was like, oh.
Damn, fool.
My guy. I said, what's up? He's like, yeah, I'm hearing you're doing me on stage. I said, huh? He's like, you went and did stand-up last night? You're doing me on stage? I was like, oh, yeah. I said, yeah, man. I was, you know, working through some ideas. I'm talking about my experience on the show. He's like, wow, why are you doing me? You don't need to do me on stage. I said, oh, nah, man. I said, no, it's not disrespectful. I was doing Will on stage too, you know?
You know, Will,
like, yeah, you know. He's like, but why are you doing me? I said, oh man, I feel like Henry Hill in Goodfellas. Yeah. How funny?
I
amuse you? I'm like, nah, you know, you so just you, you know, you, you know, tell a story. It's just Tommy, Vinny, he's a big boy. He can talk for himself. So I'm just talking about my experience. He's like,
but you didn't do me in your audition, you know. Do Denzel, do Michael Jackson, you know. Do Chris Rock. You don't need to do me.
I was like, oh well, ain't no big.
He's like, I'm not celebrity. I go outside, you know. Nobody's behind me. Like Jimmy Fallon is celebrity. Jimmy goes outside, little girls are chasing him. I go outside, the police on horseback behind me. Why are you doing me?
I said, at this point, I'm kind of annoyed. I'm like, oh, man. Because I didn't mean anything. I was more right. offended. I was like, dude, you grilling me. I was like, honestly, son, like, I ain't no biggie. I don't need to do you on stage. He's like, yeah, stop doing me, man. I'm like, I was like, all right, cool.
He's like, Sabina's mad at you.
Sabina's his wife at the time. I said, what? I said, what you mean? I said, huh?
He said, Sabina's mad at you.
I said, why is she mad at me?
Because she heard you doing me.
I said, who told her? I told her. I was like, all right, man. You know, and so that was the frustrating thing about working on SNL. It's the gift and the curse. And I think, I don't know if it's Molly Shannon or Sherry O'Terry said, it's the one show in Hollywood that you book the show and then you have to audition for the show every week, you know. You have to fight for airtime to get your sketches, get your characters, get whatever it is you created on the show and get it into the show every week. I'm not complaining about it because there were a couple of hits, you know, a lot of misses. But I also back then even I was in the Army, man. So I was like, hey, man, I'm just happy to have a job and. and you know, be able to say, you know, when you're on the road and you can catch them this week. There's something wonderful, like even with Superstore, right? Something wonderful about being on stage, or they introduce you, or you're doing your set and you're like, oh, you know what? Check me out this Saturday on SNL. Check me out on November 10th on Superstore, because it lets the audience that's in the space know, they can tell other people, yo, I saw this funny dude last week in Arlington, man, go check. He's gonna be on Superstore tonight. Dean Edwards, I saw this dude. He did a funny. I bet you he could probably do a funny Tracy Morgan, but I'm not sure. But you can check him out this week on SNL. And so that's why I didn't trip, because I was like, well, you know what? Like now Tracy's a celebrity, so I mean he was a celebrity back then, but the powers that be is very easy to play those mental mind games and make it seem like Dean is trying to take his life. I can't take Trey. I could never take Tracy's spot because he was there 5 years before me. You know what right. I mean? And he was someone I looked up to when he got the show in 96. I was one of the dudes on the circuit that was proud because I was like, oh, that's one of us.
Hell yeah.
That's one
dude.
Of us we got in 30 Rock. So when I got there, I was nothing but proud. And any person I do, any impression I do, if I'm doing an impression of you, it's not coming from a malicious place. It's coming from a place of, man, I love something about that person, something about their voice, whether it's Denzel, whether it's LL Cool J, whether it's, you know, when it's 50 Cent, you know.
It's all love.
It's all love. And it's just me exaggerating some portion of that. Like, I know Eddie Murphy just did Tracy on Kimmel recently, and I think Tracy was on like the Breakfast Club. He's been making the rounds. He's on the Breakfast Club. He's like, yo, I made it, and he did me, and you know, I'm watching like, when I did you,
I meant it
the same way. But that's all love, because that's my man 50 Grand, man. I'm happy that Tracy's alive and still giving us you know, the funny. And who he is, you know, on a daily basis, and that's what I'm like. People ask, "What's your favorite impression, Denzel?" I'm like, Denzel is fun, but I have more fun doing Tracy because Tracy's more irreverent, and you don't know what he's gonna say, which makes doing an impression of him on stage or even, you know, a podcast more fun because he can pretty much say anything, and it's hilarious.
Unpredictable out the box.
Yeah, unpredictable, yeah, definitely.
You think that he felt that by you impersonating him, they might not need him no more?
I think if anything,
are you younger?
It was more like the tall, slimmer dude,
good tall, looking, dark and
being,
handsome,
being a another version of him. And I never looked at it that way. I was like, oh man, what you do is you can't put a price on, and I can mimic what you do, but I can't be you. And I can never, every character that Tracy did, whether it was Brian Fellows, I'm Brian Fellows, or Astronaut Jones, you know, those were characters that were created in a Tracy Morgan vacuum that would never work with any other actor. You know what I mean? And that wasn't my lane. That's not what I did. Like I said earlier before the show, I was like, my talent was more the impressions versus the original characters, you know, whereas Tracy, he had more like banger original characters, you know, and I was fine with that. It's like SNL is, in my opinion, SNL is almost like a toolbox. And so you have types and you have people that can do certain things. And so, you know, you might lean on Chris Rock. Chris Rock's talent versus Adam Sandler's talent versus Dennis Miller's talent. They all were in different lanes. You know, I always lean on Kung Fu folklore, but it's like we all train, you know, in 36 chambers of Shaolin Temple. But some people, their skill is being able to jump 50 feet high and kick. Another person, it might be their punch. You know, another person, it might be their speed. You know, so everybody had their own skill set. Up at the show, and honestly, I thought when Tracy left, I would have if I made it the third season, I think I would have really popped more because I would have then been the alpha Negro, you know. But that but that didn't happen, and God bless. I'm happy for I got you know Leslie is doing her thing. It's okay. A different time. Yeah. Leslie's doing her thing. Michael Che, you know, is doing his thing. Farrell, you know, he's moved on to doing other things, but he's, you know, he has his own show and Keenan's been there now, I think 13 years, you know, so that there's more opportunities, not just for black people, but people of color. They've opened up their scope to say, oh, you know what? It's more, this show is more reflective of the world, as opposed to here. We have one black guy that we can use in a sketch at a time. Yeah. You know, cause that did become a challenge.
I still like Saturday Night Live. I don't watch it as much. Mm-hmm. I watch it on Hulu whenever something goes viral and it's really
right,
funny.
Right.
But I don't tune in.
Right. Well, plus you're working on Saturday night.
And what I really like about Saturday Night Live was the ending.
Oh, yeah.
When everybody's waving.
Yeah.
I always wanted to be there.
With that's the
my,
band.
That was my dream.
Yeah, dude.
To just rub an album with some singer, Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking having Bruno Mars on top of my shoulders.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just holding him.
Yeah, man.
Being next to any singer, you know, George Michaels.
Right.
What's the name that just passed away?
Prince.
Yeah, man.
Or anybody, any of those old famous guys, just to be next to him and go like. Yeah.
Well, because honestly.
Or be goofy at the end going, eh.
Right. Because the beauty of.
Because I know there's an after party after.
Oh.
And bro, tell us about. I know you told me. I never forgot about it. When you were doing the Tracy Morgan impersonation while the makeup girl was talking to you. The after party. You said that Tracy Morgan would bring all these old rappers from the hood.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to see.
Like the OG ones? Like Melly Mel and shit?
No, older than that.
I remember like a couple. Like Tracy was hanging. Like at one point, he was hanging with Ghostface Killer.
Oh fuck yeah! Dog.
I remember going to like Ghostface. Tracy used to sometimes he would stay at the W in Times Square. He would get a room just so he didn't have to go back and forth back to Riverdale where he lived. And I was hanging out with him. Before Dave and Buster's, there was a place called Barcode in Times Square that you would go and just like adult video games or what have you. So we go and hang out down there and then go to the W, and we were in the W one time, and like Ghostface Killer is staying at the W, and this, so I go with Tracy to Ghostface little tiny room, and this little white cat is interviewing him, and it was just like, you know what I'm saying, you hearing like Ghostface Killer talk whatever,
and Tracy's, you know, adding his idiosyncrasies. I'm like, this, I wish dude was like recording this, because this is amazing, just to be a fly on the wall for this conversation about nothing and everything at the same time. You know,
He was bringing a Grand Poobah.
Grand Poobah from Brand Nubian was hanging out. Remember? Hey, yo, Dizzy Gillespie plays it. Nice and Smooth. Came up, like, you just saw Greg Kumo Nice! D. Mo D. Like, all these cats were just coming. I was like,
Kumo D too?
Yeah, Tracy. I don't remember Mo D. He might have, though. I remember Wesley Snipes down. You know, it was just like, you seeing all these old school cats, but Tracy.
You're playing basketball.
Tracy was the liaison. Like, the hood superstars would come and hang out with Tracy, and Tracy would always, like, he'd have, like, a crew of, like, 20 deep, you know, his, like, the after party, awesome, there was Tracy's table, and then the rest of the after party around Tracy, and the after party was like was dope, but it was really the after party.
Yeah.
The after party was for industry, right? Was you said, like, your agents, you come out, and your agents come and hang out, and
this is our client. You're awesome. And blah, blah, blah.
Hey, you're doing awesome. Hey, Dean, here's a card. I know you're with someone, but if you're ever, they always hit you with that. If you're ever interested, you just want to talk, you know, hanging out with them. But then the after party was where, like, the crew would really go to get down, you
cameraman.
Know, like, that's first time somebody offered me cocaine at an after party in the meat house district. I go into the bathroom and this dude's like, "Hey, you want?" I was like, "No!" And I "No, this is not how it's supposed to be." And another time, I'll never forget this. Chris Rock's younger brother Kenny's one of those dudes you just wind up. He just shows up everywhere. He knows somebody. He always gets in. And
like a play cousin.
Yeah. So
what's up, man?
Yeah.
My play cousin.
So
Tony,
I think the name of this band was The Killers or something. It was like, it was one of those like young up and coming rock bands.
Smile, yeah. If you're rolling.
You know, yeah. You want
like very Ramones-esque looking, right?
You. Yeah, dead white face, little suits.
Right. So I had to go to the bathroom. This is the after party. I go to the bathroom. And I walk in the bathroom, and I just see a stall with a bunch of dudes standing around the stall. So all you see are like five dudes' backs in front of this stall. So I'm like, "Hey, what's up, guys?" They hear me. I'm like, "Hey, what's up?" I go and take a long piss. Like, it was one of those holding it in all night, but here I gotta go pee. So I'm in there, finish peeing. You get that piss chill. So I finished peeing. The guys had all walked out as I was peeing. I was like, all right, fellas. I finished peeing. As I go to turn towards the to wash my hands, I see this young chick, and we both just freeze and looking at each other. I was like, and I'm like, hey. If anything just went down and she screams rape or whatever, I did it, because I'm there. They all left. The killers left, right?
The killers.
So I'm like, "Hey." She's like, "Hi." I'm like, "Hey, what's up?" And you look real young, so there's a bad look. Let me get it. I don't even know if I wash my hands. I'm like, "Here, let me leave." As I walk.
No, leave a fingerprint.
Right. As I walk out, right, I don't even touch anything. I'm like using my shirt to open. I walk out. As I walk out, she walks out. Behind me, I'm like, and I go, as I turn, I see Kenny Rock, right? Kenny goes like this. He sees me, and he looks, he sees white girl. He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Nah, dude." I pumped
the brakes, dog.
And no matter what I say, it looks like I did it. I was like, "Nah, dude, I was the killers."
Stop bullshit,
the
dog. Kill-
right, right.
Why you gotta lie,
right,
man?
Why you, it's me. You don't have to, I'm like, all right, man. Whatever. So yeah, the after parties were always cool, man. But
with people waving at the, like, the that moment was always so special because you felt like you survived the war.
You survived another week. Even if you were in the sketch, you're still waving.
Oh, bro, if I wasn't in a sketch, I would make sure whatever I had on was fly. I would go get, like, the fly's outfit. I'm like, y'all ain't going to let – I ain't in the show this week. Watch, I got this new butter leather, you know.
Were you in that documentary when like Michael Jackson in white and didn't
Improv. Biography. Yeah. They did I actually have the picture on here.
I remember, I was watching it going, okay, I guess SNL is a lot of work.
Yeah. Because
13-hour days.
They came. Gwyneth Paltrow was guest.
You were full makeup and they didn't use you. Yeah, How'd you feel?
I was crushed. It was two-sided because what wound up happening, we wrote this, Hugh Fink, funny comic / writer, he wrote this sketch where it was like right after it was Michael Jackson 30-year anniversary special was about to air on CBS.
Okay.
And I actually, here's what's funny, I went to that concert because that concert took place on September 10th, 2001.
What? Wow.
So, and my first day of work at SNL was supposed to be September 11th, 2001.
Crazy.
So I was all excited to tell my story. Yo, we saw Destiny's Child, we saw Usher and the Jackson 5 and Liza Minnelli, you know, just all these people. And we got preempted, obviously. Because my first show had Julie, it was like Reese Witherspoon and Alicia Keys, but it was also Giuliani and the firemen and the police officers from you know, the 9/11 tragedy, you know. And so Annie on my fifth show of the season was in November. Gwyneth Paltrow came. My wife was a week from delivering. I think it was the November 5th show. And Gwyneth Paltrow came. So they followed us the entire week. And that's where, like, my film school background kicked in. I was like, you know what? We have this Michael Jackson 30-year anniversary sketch. They gotta cover me, if only because it's illmatic to see someone with my complexion turn into Michael Jackson. I'm trying to find the picture because it's crazy to see. But then also that week, I had written a sketch. I was trying to, like, write sketches with, you know, I'm not going to say Tracy was my hero, but he was one of the dudes I looked up to in comedy because he came from the circuit that I had worked with doing the mainstream and the black rooms. And so I had been trying to, I was like, man, I want to write something that that Tracy and I both get a chance to, you know, rock out to, you know. So I wrote this sketch. It was, you know what it was reminiscent of? The Homeboy Shopping Network in Living Color.
Back in the day.
It was this thing where we had how to survive a terrorist attack. So we had, like, an anthrax attack, and we had all these bootleg items to survive a terrorist attack. And what was dope was because NBC had got hit with the anthrax a couple weeks prior.
Right.
So what was dope was Gwyneth Paltrow, most guest hosts want to come and do something where they're going to do something left of what they normally would do. So Gwyneth Paltrow is America's sweetheart. Let's have her play this little Puerto Rican chick from around the way named Marisol. So we wrote her a character, Marisol, and she killed it. So we did it. We did a table read. The table read it killed. And I was like, yo, this has a good shot of going. So I was going into that show. I was playing Sway in the Destiny's, what was Maya and them had a Destiny's Child, Gemini's Twins. They had a Gemini's Twin sketch. So I was playing Sway in that. I was in the Michael Jackson sketch. And I was in Flacco and Rufus, the characters with me and Tracy. So I was like, if one of these goes to air, I'm good, right? Ooh, but it's dope if I get all three because all three are funny. So going into the dress rehearsal, so we do it. We did the MJ sketch. The MJ sketch, it didn't kill, right? It did okay, but usually with the dress rehearsal show, you would trim the fat, you know, you'd cut out the parts that weren't funny so that when it aired, you wound up with the funny. I can't find it, dog. the sketch in between shows. We're in Lauren's office at like 11 o'clock, 11:10, and MJ's off on the cars, just off to the side. I was like, oh, got killed. If you watch the A&E special, they're like, you see me like looking down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, Dean sits sadly because his
that's what I was gonna say.
Michael Jackson sketch got cut.
You were a white major like that. They're like, man. You
dramatized it.
Yeah, of course they dramatized it.
There's music.
Perfect for television.
Right. Because you know what's falling. You know what's funny? I wasn't thinking anything about that. I was trying to figure out, I was like, all right, you know, Flacco and Rufus is in the show, but it's the last, it's listed as the last sketch of the night. So I'm more focused on that, because just like in the military, if you have no control, you can't control what's happened. You just got to deal with what is. So I was on some, all right, I'm in the sketch playing Sway, and that's like going like third sketch of the night. So that's a good look. But I really want my baby. I want Tracy and I to get to rock out together. I just wanted to play in the sandbox with my man and an Oscar winner. You know what I mean?
Movie ideas.
Yeah, you know, and it got cut for time. We wound up, if you ever saw that episode, you can see that we were all dressed, like Tracy and I were dressed in our, you ever watch SNL and you're like, Sandler wasn't in a sketch as a banana, you know?
Yeah.
But that's a sketch that got cut. So I was in my outfit for that sketch.
Ready to
go. But the sketch got cut literally at 12:53.
Damn.
You know, and because the show ends at 1. And so that's why sometimes you'll see like a commercial parody at the end, or you see like some pre-filmed thing at the end, because that was just enough time. They have that in the can just in case, and we'll throw that up. And then at the end, I'm waving harder than everybody else, like, well, I made it in 2 sketches
got
tonight.
Strong,
you know?
Wrists.
Yeah, dude. And that's, you could never sit around crying because nobody cared.
Nobody.
Nobody Hell cared. No. Who you going to complain to? So I was like, all right,
makeup lady.
Look, I'm still on the show. That's how I always felt. I was like, I still got a check this week. I'm still on the show. And we'll try again next week. And that's what I'm trying to find. I'm gonna just pull it up on Instagram because it's too.
What came to me right now was, man, when you were telling me that story about the after party,
mm-hmm.
and then Tracy Morgan, he had a drink in his hand and he tapped on his shoulder and he said, "Look at Grand Poobah where they're talking to Lorne Michaels."
Yeah.
Because he used to trip out on that. That's what he'll bring them, huh?
Yeah.
They're out of their element.
Yeah.
He was like, "You said, look at this nigga over here." Grand Poobah never expected to be sitting there talking to Lorne Michaels. He's talking to Lorne Michaels. That's a legend of hip hop, talking to Lorne Michaels. I did that.
Hell yeah.
I did that. You know?
I like that, man.
Real talk. Yeah, but I mean, those were the experiences, man. That's, I remember, I think Chris Rock said, it might have been in the Live from New York book, and he was like, the hardest thing about not being on the show is you miss the party. You miss, and not just the after party, you just miss being part of the show and being able to say, because that's a Hollywood institution, but specifically, as an institution in New York City, you know,
oh, fuck yeah,
that you were part of, you know, and still to this day, I'm like, hey, man, you know, people clown and like, yeah, but I remember we had a roast of Patrice O'Neill at Boston Comedy Club, and somebody, I don't know if it was Patrice, he was like, they sent National Geographic to find Dean Edwards when he was on SNL or something. Like, it was a funny joke. And I'm like, but I was on it though. Like, if you walk up to the 17th floor and they have everyone's headshot on the wall that's ever been on that show, from Belushi and Gilda and Aykroyd to Eddie and Bill Murray and Damon Wayans for his
Father
6 months.
Nino Sarducci.
Father Greedo Sarducci. And if you go down to probably around number, I'm going to say I'm probably around the 100 number of headshots on there, you see me with a big grin, big afro, and I'm on that same wall with All-Star. I'm like out of 150 cast members that ever been on this show, I'm one of them. And then if you really want to get serious, out of 15 or 16 black people that have been on that show. Out of the 10% of black people that have been on that show, I'm one of them. So
yeah.
I'm like, hey, man, that show still opens doors. You always want more. I don't want anybody that's listening. Like, I hope I don't sound bitter because I still love what the show did for me and the opportunity. I ain't got no beef towards Lorne Michaels or anybody. If anything, I'm like, yeah, y'all got rid of me when I was about to get married. Word? Like, that was my whole, I was like, you know, I had a wedding to pay for, you know? Marriage is expensive. And I had a new daughter. So that was I was upset, especially in the moment about that. But I was like, man, this show, I've said from day one, it wasn't called Saturday Night Live. It wasn't Dean Edwards featuring the SNL cast. It was Saturday Night Live featuring Dean Edwards. So that's how I got through it. I was like, all right, well, this is not my show. It's a show. It's their show, and I'll ride it out as long as possible, and then we move on, you know. And I've had some other great opportunities, and there are greater opportunities still. Still to come, man. I'm still trying to find this damn picture. I thought it was in in collage. I thought I had it in collage, but I don't see the collage section anymore, man. So I got to go to Instagram. I'll send it to you.
Send it to us.
You can put it up on there.
What's up, fool? What you got, Rodrigo? Any questions?
Nah, dude. I'm fucking chilling.
He got a call to audition for the show.
Yeah, we were talking earlier on. Man. Yeah, I have no problem sharing my insight. What's funny about the show is what worked for me might not work for anybody else. What worked for Will Ferrell, like everybody's audition, like Melissa Villaseñor, we were just shooting something with Frank Caliendo for ESPN late August. And
I remember that. I shared that shit.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah,
you're doing everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, you did.
Yeah,
yes, you did. Yeah,
that was funny.
Yeah, that joint. The first one I did solo because Caliendo, God bless him, man. Shout out to Frank Caliendo. He put me on. He called me, said, "Hey, do you have any people in the NFL?" So I did one for the Super Bowl 2 years ago as Richard Sherman, and then the people from ESPN hit me and were like, "Yeah, listen, we Frank can't do all the black people. Like, it just, like, in a nutshell, that's what it was. It was like, Frank, we can have Frank, but it's not PC for him to do everybody in blackface." So I was like, cool. So they hired me. We did 4 last year. And the first one I did, I'll send you a link to the, I think that one might be, no, the Stephen A. Smith one is still up.
Do it.
They had me, it was me playing Chris Carter for a Sunday NFL countdown. I was playing CC, and CC was also interviewing Coach Mike Tomlin from Pittsburgh Steelers, Tracy Morgan, and Denzel Washington had like a round table. And so I got to get my Nutty Professor at the Clumps at the dinner table scene on because they were all interacting.
Character.
Yeah, and that was a dope look. That was a lot of fun, man.
Fuck yeah,
it was challenging, but it was a lot of fun. And you know, you learn something about like that technology and this green screen and how like they like I have to sit here and have to stay in like a certain position because my eye line of Tracy talking to Denzel has to be different than my eye line to, you know. So it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun doing that. And we just did another one where I was playing 50 Cent and 50 and Tracy Morgan. And Melissa and I were shooting that day. And that, I think that's the day she got the call saying they were interested. So she and I spoke. And I was like, hey, man, whatever you do, I said, have fun. That's what anything you do out here, like people lose sight of the fact that this is supposed to be fun, man. Life, you're supposed to live life and enjoy it. I'm living life. Enjoying it, you know. I'm happy we all got to rock out. This is fun, you know. Somebody had to go punch a clock and make little or no money today, and we doing this for fun just to give people, you know, that are sitting in their cubicles or what have you, watching on YouTube, something to be entertained. That's the gift of life.
Yeah, man.
It's to give and give with and give without end.
What's up, fool? You have any dates?
Yeah, yo, you know, y'all could catch me. I will be all, if you're in the Texas area, cause I'm actually, when's this come out?
Friday.
Friday. Okay. So, yeah, the Air Force base tour ends this Saturday. So forget those. And then I'm on a cruise for 2 weeks. But if you're in Plano, Texas, November 17th, 18th, 19th, you can catch me at the Plano, Texas Hyenas Comedy Cafe. And then I'm doing the run of them. And then from if you're in Fort Worth area, you can catch me December 1st through 3rd at the Fort Worth Hyenas. And then if you're in the Dallas area, you can catch me at the Dallas Hyenas December 8th through 10th. You can catch me if you're on social media. Make sure y'all follow at I am Dean Edwards, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at I am Dean Edwards. And make sure, more importantly, you subscribe to the Father Mucking Protocol that's also on All Things Comedy. Because we just did two wonderful episodes with Felipe that y'all going to really... We got to the crust of who this man to my right is.
Hell yeah.
What's up, fool?
Can I plug my show?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, what up? Catch me at Flappers in Burbank at the Yoohoo Room November 21st, nice. 8 p.m. Rodrigo Torres and the Homies, and December 29th at Flappers in Claremont.
You got a new Yeah Man coming out?
That'll be out tomorrow, and then I got two new Yeah Mans coming out next week and maybe a solo one this weekend, so we're going to be flying with those four new episodes in the next two weeks. Boom. Hell yeah.
They getting before we go, bang bro, for their buck.
Why is Alfred Robles called the classic man?
I don't know. What's going on over here?
wait. Buy one coat? Bro, he's a classic man?
He got a bow tie.
Is he a wrestler, bro? What is he?
He's a classic man.
He's a classic man with a fucked up lip.
Who's the Dos Equis guy? Trying to bite on that, probably.
There it is.
Oh, yeah. There it is. It.
Oh, shit.
Damn, yeah, they're looking at the picture from from me as MJ.
That's damn,
the, yeah, they killed the makeup team. I was like, if it made they it to air, paid. they earned their money, man. They would have got an Emmy off of that. Turn a black man into Michael Jackson.
Yeah, man. On the documentary, it looked like you went home, you shot yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, they did, because they made it seem like I was about to cry.
You're all full makeup, man. Yeah. I'm dressed.
Yeah.
I'm going to just walk around Manhattan then.
Right. And I found out later on the reason the sketch got cut was because the audience was confused. Because Matt Damon came to the show that night, and he came up to me after the show, because he and Gwyneth were real tight. So he's like, Dean, man, I just want to tell you, that was amazing. I said, oh, thanks, man, it got cut. He's like, no, but he's like, dude, doesn't matter. One of my friends is a makeup artist, and he's here with me. And when you were on camera, when you were performing, he was like, I don't understand why Michael would do that to himself. Why would he make a joke? He's like, that's Dean. That's not.
It looked too real, too.
And that's what the problem
was. Probably was.
That's what I found out later. It looked
too
real
and too creepy.
Yeah, it. I think a lot of the audience, I heard later on, they said the audience was confused because I looked too much like MJ, and so they didn't realize that it was me playing MJ. And they were like, well, why would Michael Jackson come on the show to make fun of himself and his brother? So it was confused. And once that's the thing. Once you learn that, like, Lauren's like the evil genius, man, because there was a method to his madness. You know, in the moment, you're sitting there pissed, but you're like, there was a reason why. You know, I remember Tracy right after 9/11. Tracy,
I told you.
Yeah, Tracy did an update piece where he was just talking about, you know, 9/11 and what happened and how we got to get the people that did this. And it went during the dress rehearsal show, but it got cut. And I said to Tracy, I was like, yeah, why do you think it got cut? Because then fast forward maybe half a season, they did the same update piece and it killed. And I said, why did it get cut and they brought it back?
Timing.
And he said, time. And he was like, somebody had to pay for those towers. He's like, the first time we did it, he's like, the audience was angry. The audience was angry and they were looking to blame someone. And so when we did a joke, we got to find all them dudes that have those Erykah Badu head wrap. They weren't laughing. They were mad. And so he's like, we don't want people mad. We don't want to institute violence or vitriol. We want people laughing with us. And so the energy was wrong. Similar to like how Chappelle said, like he didn't like there was a time he was doing jokes, but then the audience was laughing, felt like instead of them laughing with, they were laughing at him, you know. And so I always thought that was impressive that they said, you know, let's wait. Sometimes less is more, let's save it, you know. So, yeah.
What's up, Fool Podcast? Thank you very much, Dean Edwards.
Hell what's yeah. up, Thank Fool? Thank you, my boy. What's up, Fool? I always say
he was a yeah man.
Yeah man.
Keep shining, dog.
Little Zal, bro, some Denzel, bro.
Hey, you know what? What's up? What's up, Fool? Let me tell you something. King Kong ain't got nothing on this podcast.
Tell your family apart, piece by piece.